Good evening. This evening's Divrei Torah should be Le'ilui Nishmas Sarah Bas Mordechai Sally Rubenstein, whose yard site is on Tesh Shvat. She should have an aliyah from our Divrei Torah. So Rabbi Feiner spoke briefly last night about the Mun. I just figured we should continue that conversation and speak about some very fascinating issues that come up regarding the Mun. Some of them halachic, some of them not exactly halachic, but interesting nonetheless. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Ayin Hey, a very famous Gemara, we have a machlokes Rab Ami v'Rab Asi. What exactly was the status of the mun? Do we assume that the mun took on every single flavor, anything a person wanted, like Rabbi Feiner said last night, pizza, steaks, you name it, that's what they got. Anything a person wanted, that's what they were able to have. Or was the mun also able to take on the texture of that particular form of food that you chose? For example, if I eat pizza, it's not the same if I eat pizza that is soft and soggy, it doesn't taste the same as if I eat pizza that's a nice, crispy, fresh piece of pizza. So that's the question that the Gemara has. What exactly happened by the mun? When a person had in mind that he wanted to have pizza for dinner that night, do we assume that it not only tasted like it, but it also had the texture, it took on the whole form of the flavor that you wanted? Or do we assume, no, that all you got was the flavor, but the texture did not come along? So this is a very interesting Gemara, and as we said briefly last night, it's a little bit of a question the Acharonim raise. The pasuk itself says, "V'tamu kitzapiches bedvash." It seems that it was l'shado kishad Hashem, and it had the oil and the honey texture. That was the basis of the taste of the man. So how can you say over here, all of a sudden, everybody can think whatever they want if the pasuk tells us already what exactly the man tasted like? So there's a lot written about that kasha, but either way, it seems clear from the Gemara that you can have the man taste like anything you want, except, says the Gemara, there are a few things that the man was not able to taste like, and that's based on a pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha. Parshas Bahaloscha is the parsha when we have a lot of interesting things happening there. But one of the interesting stories in Parshas Bahaloscha is the Misononim. People were complaining. What were they complaining about? Says the pasuk, Zacharnu es hadaga shanocha b'mitzrayim chinam. What are you bringing us out here to the Midbar? We remember the good old fish that we used to have out in Mitzrayim. Es hakishuim, es havatichim, es hachatzir, es habitzalim, es hashumim. We had the garlics, we had the onions, we had everything else. What are you taking us out to the Midbar? So frekt. Rashi, what do you mean? Rashi quotes from Chazal, what's the kasha here? What are they complaining about? If we assume that the man could taste like anything in the world, so what's the taina? You can have it taste like Yeshuim, like Diluim, like Dugim, like everything else. So what do you mean? How come over here we assume that all of a sudden they did not have these flavors, these textures in the Midbar, if in fact the man was able to taste like anything they could possibly have wanted? So Rashi over there, Ala Makom quotes, Rashi says, why these five things? Why should we assume that these specific food items were not applicable to the man? Why are they so different than anything else? Zak Rashi, Mepnei Shein Kashin L'Meinikos. You know why? Because if you have a woman who's nursing her child, or you have a woman who's pregnant, so it's not going to be healthy for her to go ahead and eat these foods for whatever reason, because that's going to transmit a foul odor or a foul type of milk to the children. So therefore, since these foods were not applicable for pregnant or nursing women, so therefore, they were not able to have these flavors at all. Why? Because I assume, let's say, the husband and wife are married. The wife is nursing. The husband is not nursing, obviously. The husband decides he wants to have kishuim for dinner. His wife sits down to eat with him and she says, hey, I can't eat that. So it's going to be uncomfortable. So you know what? These are off limits. Rashi says, therefore, because of the menikos mubaros, these foods were off limits. That's what Rashi quotes from Chazal. The Torah Tmima actually over there writes that if you look in the Gemara and Ksubas Daf Samach, the Gemara gives a whole list of foods that we assume are kasha for tinokos. A woman who's nursing shouldn't eat this, shouldn't eat that, she shouldn't do a bunch of things. So, frekta Torah Tmima, why does the Gemara only have these five psukim, these five items that the pasuk lists over here? What about everything else that's listed in the Gemara Ksubas that we know are kasha for a tinok, are kasha for a meineka? So this is the kasha of the Torah Tmima. He says, anachinami, maybe you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that, maybe the man taka was not able to taste like a whole bunch of things, but basically we assume that the man tasted pretty much like anything a person could have possibly wanted, except for a couple of foods. Now there's a beautiful tshuva sefer called the Shalos Tshuvos Afarksusa de Anya. That's written by Rab David Sperber, who was one of the great Gedolim in Romania in the early 1900s. And then in 1950, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He became one of the great Gedolim over there. So he has a few Chalakim of Shalos Tshuvos. So he writes, I'll read you his Lashon. He says, Histapakti al derech drosh v'kabel schar. I had the following suffix. I was wondering about the following thing. It's not really Nogea Halacha L'maisa. But he says, Nistapakti al derech drosh v'kabel schar. Look, we're allowed to darshan the Torah even for things that aren't Halacha L'maisa. The Gemara says, and Saramur never happened and it never will happen, but still, we have a whole Perek and Shas about it, all the Achronim have tons to say about it. We have Yerni Dachas, the Gemara says, never happened, but still, we have plenty to say about that. So over here also, he says, I want to talk about something, I'm not sure if it's Halacha L'maisa, and we'll see how a minute it might be. So he says, "Hine haman hayutam in bo kol tam sheyirtze." A person could taste any flavor, any texture in the man, whatever he may have wanted that evening. Yihavishari lios rotze litom tam basar b'chalav yachtav. Let's say I decide one night, you know what? Why don't I think about basar b'chalav? Why don't I think about chazer? I want to have a cheeseburger tonight. It sounds interesting. I can't really go to McDonald's. So why don't I just think about the man that it should taste like basar b'chalav, that it should taste like chazer? So the... Chal, right? You have all sorts of things. What? Chal's mutter, okay. Okay, so that's an interesting question. So here he says, what's the halacha? Can I think, listen, can I think about basar b'chalav? Can I think about chazer? Can I... So let's discuss. Let's see what he says. So he says, v'im haya efshel litom kach, could it be that the Rebbeinu Shalom would allow me to think such a thing when I'm eating the Heilig Amon? How could it be? Obviously, the whole thing was miraculous. Do you think the Rebbeinu Shalom would let me taste something that tastes like chazer? You think he would let me taste something like basar b'chalav? So you said about chal, we'll get to that in a second. So he goes through a lengthy tshuva, and then he says, what could be wrong? What's wrong with giving a flavor of something that's a treif of flavor? As long as the maichel is kosher, as long as what I'm eating, the substance, is actually kosher, what's the difference what it actually tastes like? You can't say tam ki ikar, you can't say this is like basar b'chalav. There's nothing here, it's man, it's miraculous, it doesn't really exist. So how can you say this is like treif of food, this is like chazer, this is like basar b'chalav? Not only that, he says, there's nothing here. So how can you say there's a problem with basar b'chalav? So he says, l'chayra, you would assume that this would have been mutter, and in the end of the tshuva he says, well, maybe it's not mutter, maybe it is. He goes back and forth. The Chidah also has this discussion. It's quoted by other achronim. The Chidah writes that he agrees as well. There's nothing wrong with thinking about a tam basar b'chalav by the man. Everything is fine. And the Ragged Shever, I think, has this also in one of his tshuvas. I couldn't find it today, but I remember seeing it once. So they all assume that there's nothing possibly wrong. So take for example, you're talking about chal. Take for example, let's say nowadays, we figured out we have all food industries, we have taste experts, so they figured out how to make popcorn in the flavor of anything, right? There's a popcorn store in Manhattan. I don't think we have one out here yet, but I'm sure we'll get one soon. We have a popcorn store in Manhattan that tells us we can have a flavor of popcorn anything you want. You can have a cholent flavor, I think they made, of popcorn. How do they figure it out? They have the taste experts making that. So let's say you make a taste of popcorn that tastes like treif. Are you allowed to do that? Why? Why not? Why not? Not only why not, in fact, we would assume that the Gemara probably tells us that it's a preferred thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Why? Because the Gemara says in Chulin and Af Kuf Tes, the Gemara tells us, "Kol de asur lan rachmana shar lan kavosei." A person shouldn't live his whole life having a Yetzihara. You know what? I really want that treifa cheeseburger. I really want to, I wish I tasted it. You know what says the Gemara? The Gemara tells us, "Kol ma de asur lan rachmana shar lan kavosei." The Rebbeinu Shalom put in the Bria a way for us to taste every davar ha'asr in a way that's mutter. So that's why over here also, there could be nothing wrong with tasting something that might taste like a davar ha'asr, as long as everything, all the contents are mutter, obviously that would be permissible. So this is the opinion of some achronim, that in fact there was nothing wrong with thinking, when one ate the man, there was nothing wrong with thinking about a tam of basar b'chalav or a tam of chazer. However, this is not so simple. Why not? Because the Gemara says in Brachas Adaf Memches, interesting Gemara, what were the origins of Birchas HaMazon? Says the Gemara, Birchas HaMazon didn't all come at the same time. It was broken up into different compartments. Different times in history had different additions to the Birchas HaMazon. Zakti Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Moshe Tikkun Lam Yisrael, Birchas HaZon, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one. Moshe Rabbeinu, Heilige Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who decided that we should say Birchas HaZon, the first bracha in the Birchas HaMazon, B'shash Yard Lahem Aman, when we sat down to eat the man. That is when Moshe Rabbeinu made the takana of saying Hazana Sakol. The Acharonim already asked, what do you mean? Achas says Ve'achaltu Savata Ve'erachtos. What do you mean, Moshe Tikkun? It's already in the Torah. Okay, so you have to say some shot over here. But basically, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted that. Then Yeshua ben Nun added. Then David HaMelech and Shlomo also added. So that's where we have the Birchas HaMazon the way it is today. The Beis Yosef, in fact, writes in Arachayim, in Ilchus Birchas HaMazon, he quotes from some Rishonim, from the Kalbo and others. He says, how can you say Kamur Poseach Hasyadecha Masbiya L'chol Chai Ratzo? And he says in Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svar, they have two different minhagim, whether you say it or not. How can you say that? If Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was Misake in Hazanas HaKol, what do you mean Kamur Poseach Hasyadecha? David HaMelech wrote that many generations later in Tehillim. So how can you say Kamur Poseach Hasyadecha if Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who made up the bracha? It can't be. So that's what the Beis Yosef says. He thinks it's a mistake. It can't be that that's the right Nusach. If in fact Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, it doesn't make sense that he would have stuck in a pasuk that he didn't know yet. Can't be. So either way, we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who instituted Birchas HaMazon. Frek Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Gilyonei HaShas there on Meseches Brachas Tach Memches, he says, what do you mean? The halacha is you're only allowed to make a birchas hamazon if you ate chameshes minei dagon. So they didn't eat chameshes minei dagon. What did they eat? They ate man. In fact, the Acharonim have a whole discussion. What bracha did they make before they ate the man? Did they make a bracha? Did they not? Hamotzi lechem min hashamayim, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, what are you going to make? But the ma'aser, they didn't eat. Even if you thought that you're eating bread and you're eating cakes and cookies, but you didn't eat an actual chameshes minei dagon. It's not what you ate. So Frek of Yosef Engel, how are you allowed to recite a bracha, hazanas hakol, if in fact you did not eat chameshes minei dagon? Yosef Engel thinks there's a bomb kash on the Gemara. What?
Was there
sviya? That's another kasha. The Chazanish says, how they say a birchas hamazon, you have to be kedei sviya. But over here, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Ayin Hey that right away when they ate it, it was nesachlu b'me'ayim. It came right away. They were full, and that was it. What? So the Chazanish is bothered. How is that fit in with kedei sviya? Meaning, you only have a certain amount of time till you're allowed to bench. L'chara, right away when they ate it, that time passed right away. So anyway, these are all interesting questions, but let's just talk about this point. And then maybe after Mar, we'll talk about everything else. But over here, let's just think. Let's take ourselves back to the Nes Chanukah for a minute. We spoke on Chanukah, and I think it's very nogea to hear. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes a kasha that he said he heard in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. What's the kasha? If we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle on Chanukah, that he made Shemen Nes. So he says, what do you mean? The Beis HaMikdash, how were they able to use the Shemen Nes? We know that you have to use Shemen Zayizach. So how can you say that the Ribbono Shel Olam made a miracle that they had Shemen for 8 days? What do you mean? That's not Shemen Zayizach. They couldn't use it anyway, so it didn't help anything. That's the kasha that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes in the name of Reb Chaim. Zok Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, for those who remember, what does he say? That it's not that it was Nisrabe Be'kamus. It's not that it was quantitatively the Ribbono Shel Olam came and gave them more oil. Rather, it was qualitatively. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave them one flask of oil. And that flask of oil somehow became much more powerful. It got a lot of energy, and it was able to last 8 days. And this is the way he answers the Beis Yosef's kasha. This is what the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. However, I saw in many different svarim that they say that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik never ever said such a thing. Everybody denies that Reb Chaim said it. Why? I saw in one sefer he says, Shamati, it's a first-hand account over here. Shamati mipi harav hagon Reb Menachem ben Menachem Shlita, Ram b'yeshivas Tifrach. I don't know who that is. Maybe, yeah? You know who it is? Shasiper, Shapam pagash zokein muflag echad. He once met a very older person, who Siper, and this person told him, Shabiyosa odnar lefnei bar mitzvah, when he was before the age of bar mitzvah, Nigish lemar nagrach mi brisk, he once met Rab Chaim, because Rab Chaim came to stay in his town, v'ratzalomalo muhu mashu benageh lekusha mi shemen hanes, he wanted to go to Rab Chaim and say, hey, I have a good teretz for your kasha about the shemen hanes, v'hei shemar nagrach zatzal, Rab Chaim answered him, echabdas kein mol nishkefret. I never had such a kasha. I was never bothered by the kasha. Not only that, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim's son, said that his father never had the kasha. The Brisker Rav said his father never had the kasha. Rav David Soloveitchik writes in the Shiur Mamanachos that his father, the Brisker Rav, told him that his grandfather never would have said such a thing. It's impossible. Why do they find it so inconceivable that Rav Chaim would ask such a kasha? Why is it so offensive? Answer is, because Rav Chaim, with his mastery of all of Shas, figured out that when you have something that becomes created through a miracle, that takes on the properties of the actual Davar Gashmi. It's not that it stays as an ace, and now it's not going to be Shemen, because it's not Shemen Zayizach. No! If the Ribbono Shel Olam put Shemen Nes into the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes Shemen Zayizach, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kol Yachol, he can do whatever he wants. So if he puts Shemen Nes into the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't remain as Shemen Nes, it now becomes transported into Shemen Zayizach. And therefore, Reb Chaim felt it's offensive to ask such a question. What do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam gives you a miracle and you're going to say you can't use it? Of course you could use it. That becomes the Shemen Zayizach, and Avada one could be Yotzei his mitzvah through that Shemen. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam quotes this halacha. The Gemara says in Menachos Daf Samach Tes that Omer Shekriva Yisrael Bamidbar, when the Omer fell down, Tosfos says, Min HaShemayim, there were stalks of wheat that came down Min HaShemayim, and they offered that as the Karban Omer. So the Gemara is all suffix. Did it work? Did it not? The Rambam says it was kosher. How can it be kosher? What do you mean? The stalks of wheat that come down from Shemayim, you can't use that for a karbon. That's not real armor. The answer is the Rambam holds, yes, when something is created through a miracle, it does have the status of wheat, it does have the status of barley, and one can use that. So if you assume that something that's nitzer al yedei anes actually takes on the properties of the Dabar HaGashmi, it takes on the properties of the actual thing, so then we can answer Rabbi Yosef Engel's kasha. Rabbi Yosef Engel's kasha never starts. What was his question? Had they say Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin Birchas HaMazon, it was only on the man, it wasn't Chameshes Minei Dag, and the answer is yes, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us the man, the Rabbeinu Shalom said you can think about whatever you want when you're eating the man, and therefore, once you thought about pizza, this became pizza mamish. It's not that it stayed as man, it became the actual thing that you wanted it to be, and now it's actually considered Chameshes Minei Dag. And if that's the case, then obviously one would be allowed to make a Birchas HaMazon, and if that's the case, then it turns out that one would not be allowed to think about Basar B'Chalav. Why? Because it's not just that you're thinking about a taste. No, it now becomes actually transmitted into the real food that you're thinking about. So if that's true, so then it can't be basar b'chalav, it can't be chazer. You have to think about something that's a meichel kosher, not like some of the achronim said before. In fact, the Rishon writes, what they do when they were in the midbar, how did they eat the matzah? Where'd they get matzah from? So when they left Mitzrayim, they got matzah because they had all the materials necessary to make matzah. But now in the 40 years in the midbar, how'd they have matzah? Zok d'Ritva, they had matzah because it was matzah that was made al yidei the man. So what? How are you mekayim mitzvah achilas matzah? Let's say I make popcorn that tastes like matzah. Can I go and eat a Pesach night and say that that's good enough? Of course not. So how can it be? Zok d'Ritva, the answer is, other Rishonim disagree, but the answer is, says the Ritva, the reason why they were mekayim the mitzvah of matzah is because when they ate the man, it became matzah. That's what you see, that something that's nitzer al yidei anes actually becomes the actuality of that thing that you're thinking about as well. So the Chacham Tzvi has an interesting tshuva. I see we're way out of time here, but the Chacham Tzvi has a very fascinating tshuva, a famous tshuva that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Siman Sadi. What happens when you have a person who's Nitzer Al Yidei Sefer Yitzira? So do you assume that person is a real person, or do you assume not? So the Gemara seems to say no. Why? Because the Gemara is a story, I think, about Abai and Rava. I forgot exactly the two people, but one of them created a person, Al Yidei Sefer Yitzira. Then this Sefer Yitzira mensch went to visit the other one, and he couldn't talk to him, he couldn't converse with him, so he killed him. Exactly, so he killed him. So how are you allowed to kill him? Zok d'Chacham Tzvi, you see from there, there's no issur shvichas damim on a person who's created al yidei Sefer Yetzirah. So you seem to assume that Sefer Yetzirah creations are not really considered real. So you have to assume, I asked this to my father this morning, he thought you have to assume something along the lines of, when the Ribbono Shel Olam creates a b'chvod v'atzmo, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same way he made the Shemen Zayis, he can also make new Shemen Zayis if he pops it into the Beis HaMikdash. The same way the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the money, he can also make it into pizza. But if we create something Al Yidei Sefer Yetzirah, if we try to make something, that doesn't become the real thing. We don't know how to do that. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who knows how to make new things, new realities, and make them into something that we don't expect them to be. But when a human being is involved, then we assume, even if you're creating Sefer Yetzirah, it's Givaldik with Shemus, with everything, but still perhaps we assume that that would not be taking on the real properties of what the essence of what you're trying to make. Okay, there's a lot more to talk about. Obviously, it's an interesting sugya. But again, this is just Joshua Kavoschar. Wish everyone a good night.